that in this church, but just there's an attitude. We're going to get to that, where there's an attitude of worship, and I don't want to move out of that attitude. Sometimes we do, like Pastor Shane was saying, is we make a shift. We shift out of worship, we shift into announcements, and then we shift into the message. And I really would like you guys to consider this being still worship, that we're still worshiping when we read the word, when we bring the word, okay? So Christina and I just want to share this with you. We've been through some pretty amazing things. We've had an amazing journey this last, I don't know, about a year or so. So I'm just going to give a praise for Christina. Everybody knows, I think, in St. Mary's that, and in our church, that Christina has seizures, attacks from the enemy is what we call them. They just attack her. And one of them, she has three different types, and one of them is a what we would call a screaming attack, okay? And probably all of you that have been here have seen that. She used to jump up, run, and scream, and fall down. And praise the Lord, we've been praying, and there's been people in here, and I've give testimony to this. They've been fasting and praying for Christina in our church for, I don't know, 6 months before that, at least. I'm just kind of guessing because we didn't ask. And the Lord laid it on our hearts to pray and fast specifically just to be closer to Him, not even for those things. And it's been a whole year, a little over a year, that Christina has had a screaming attack. That is worthy of praise. That is worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. So Christina has gone off that medication. She's on several different medications. She has three different types, right? So she has a medication for each. She just doesn't take that medication anymore. She went to her doctor. She took that medication. Also, Christina, if you guys didn't know, but a lot of people don't know this, but Christina has, it's kind of like, I think of it like a pacemaker, but she has a little box right here. And there's a wire that runs up into her neck. And you can see there's a little scar right here. I didn't ask her if this was okay, but I think it's okay. And there's a wire connected to a nerve right here, and it shocks her brain. So, Christina, how long has it been since you shut that off? So, and we haven't seen any change. Like, the doctors told us there were going to be more seizures possibly. This was going to, you know, they didn't know. But we've seen a decrease in attacks, decrease in those seizures. So God is up to something. So we've been, the one thing that God has been highlighting, and I've heard this for years and years, is revival, right? And an awakening. And we've talked about it a lot. I've heard this talked about in churches, and especially this church, ever since I've been here. Revival. We want revival, right? Do you want revival? Do you want Jesus to awaken you? The one thing that really bothers me, and I'm going to share this with you about revival, is we have the wrong mindset about revival. We think it starts with the masses, that it starts with a whole group of people, but that's not the way it starts. That's not even biblical. It starts with one person. Now, I want you to say this with me. Revival depends on me. You can have your own revival. You do not have to wait for everyone to awake. You can awake on your own. In your own personal relationship with Christ, you can awake. I want you to go like this, just like this. Point at me. All right? Think about that. You have one finger pointed at everybody else, one finger at God, and three at yourself. Remember that. Remember that. When you say stuff like, if those people would get with it, we'd have revival. Let me tell you something. If you'd get with it, we'd have revival. If you'd surrender to the Lord in the areas of your life, we would have revival. Stop waiting. Stop waiting for everyone else to catch revival. You catch it. Amen. Amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that doesn't get your fire going, your wood's wet. We had a pastor that used to say that here. If that doesn't get your fire going, your wood's wet. But you know what? God is a consuming fire. It doesn't matter if your wood's wet. He can consume you. He can consume the wet wood. Amen. So stop looking at the wet wood and start getting into the fire. We need fire of the Holy Ghost. We need a new fire of the Holy Spirit right now. The St. Mary's Assembly of God needs it. The Presbyterian Church needs it. I've been there. These are people that love Jesus. I've been preaching there. They love Jesus, but they need the fire of the Holy Spirit. The people in our community need the fire of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. It's not taught. It's caught with the fire. They can catch it. You can catch it. When you start talking about God doing stuff in your life, when you start surrendering to Him and demons go and you're healed and you're like, you know what? That guy down the street, I'm going to give testimony for just a second. There's a guy that I had to fire. My dad places me over the crew and I had to let him go. You're not showing up for work. I have to let you go. He calls me up. And he says, I need some advice. I've never had this happen before. Somebody that I let go, and I wasn't mean to him, but he calls me up and wants advice. And then I invite him over for dinner, and he says, this is weird that you would let me go and invite me over for dinner. And I said, well, it's not your, you know, we don't have a problem with you. You got to show up, man. And that guy, we invited him to a movie the other night, and he gave his heart to the Lord. God is doing something. God is up to something. We got to get on board with what the Holy Spirit's doing. We got to get on board. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. That's where it's at. That's where the fire is at. Okay? Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to just take you on a little bit of my journey. So this may not be your journey. That's okay. This is my story, some of Christina's story a little bit. And I just want to show you what God's been showing me. So we're going to go to Isaiah 10:27. I'm going to wait for you to get there. Isaiah 10:27. Still hear pages turning. I'm going to wait. Are you there? Okay. So if I'm going to tell you something. If you don't talk to me, the sermon's going to go way longer. The more that you say amen, you know, I'm with you, I'm here, I'm there, hallelujah, preach it, it's going to be shorter. Okay? So, are you there? All right. It shall come to pass in the last day, in that day, that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. And I read that verse and I thought, then that's what I need. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more anointing. So I started looking into anointing. I started looking into how do I get this? And I figured out that there's something called impartation. You can lay hands on people and give an impartation of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay, that's what I need then. Because when I lay my hands on someone, I want to see them healed. When I cast out a demon out of someone, I want them to go. Okay? So I need anointing then. I don't have this anointing. So I started seeking anointing. And one time here, the Holy Spirit was moving, and I thought, I'm just going to have Pastor Lynn pray for me. And I think Pastor Shane might have prayed too. Possibly. I can't remember. But I know Pastor Lynn, and I said, Pastor Lynn, I want more anointing. I want more anointing in my life. And he said, okay, are you ready for that? And I said, I didn't expect that, you know, question. And I said, I think so. I think I'm ready. Because I'm like, okay, he's going to pray for me. He's going to lay hands on me. And now I'm going to do is I'm going to lay hands on other people and I'm going to see them slain in the spirit, whatever, gifts of the spirit, something amazing happen, right? I'm going to see this power, right? The power of the Holy Spirit. And so he laid his hands on me and he prayed for me. And so here I go. And I got what the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, and it wasn't what I thought. So after Pastor Lynn prayed for me, I know I wanted anointing. The Holy Spirit wanted intimacy. I wanted anointing, but the Holy Spirit wanted intimacy. In Exodus 2 or 25, he says he's a jealous God. And in James 4:5, and I want to go there before we go any further. It says, are you there? Okay. Or do you not think, the scripture says in vain, that spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to have anything before him. Nothing. He wants it to be just you and him. Okay? That's why James is talking about all these things beforehand that you need to get out of your life. You need to get these things out of your life because I'm a jealous God and I can't have these things in my life or in your life. You can't have intimacy if you have these things in your life. And so the Holy Spirit, I wanted anointing, right? He wanted intimacy. And so what he did was he said, you know what? I'd love to give you power. I'd love to give you so you can lay hands on people and they're healed. But you can't handle it. Your character can't handle it. That was a huge blow to me, to my ego. He says, you have too much pride. This will destroy you if I give you that anointing. It'll completely consume you. It'll destroy you. So I'm holding it back. So actually, I'm holding it back for your good. I'm holding back my anointing because I want intimacy, and this is going to mess with intimacy with me. So I said, thank you, Lord. And he started working on fruit. He said, it's not about the gifts. I can give you gifts that comes by faith, but I want to have fruit in your life. I want to work some fruit out in your life because your fruit is rotten. It's rotten. It's rotten fruit. Pastor Lynn, I told Pastor Lynn that, and he said, you know what? The fruit might be rotten, but the seeds are good. That's amazing. That gives me hope, because when God started doing, okay, you got pride, that's a nasty, terrible thing. It's one of the hardest things to get rid of is pride. Job talks about pride. It's even a spirit, and it's called Leviathan. It's one of the nastiest. I mean, if you read it in Job, if you go back in Job and read about pride, this is the picture of pride, Leviathan, that big dragon that no one can kill, but God can. His word can kill it. His word can pierce through pride. So we're on this journey of intimacy, because now I know it's intimacy. It's not necessarily anointing. The anointing will come. It'll come by faith, but it's intimacy. So the Holy Spirit, we have to realize the Holy Spirit, you don't need more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants more of you. We've missed it completely. We're all about gifts sometimes in a Pentecostal church. We need gifts. We need gifts. We need gifts. You need gifts, but you also need fruit. It's like some people have compared this to like a dove, all right? A dove has 9 feathers on one side, right? On the pin feathers on each side. 9. Okay? There's 9 fruit. There's 9 gifts. You can't have one without the other. And the Holy Spirit, the dove is a picture, not the Holy Spirit, but a picture of the Holy Spirit. For that dove to be able to fly, it needs both. It can't be flying around with one wing. And that's what we've been doing. We've been doing is we want power, we want gifts, but your character can't handle it. There's some people in this room that say, I want anointing. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. So you don't need more of the Holy Spirit. Give yourself to the Spirit. I beg you. That way he can work your character out. That way he can work some fruit out in your life. And you know what? You'll get the power that you've been looking for. Amen? Amen. You need it. But you gotta let the Holy Spirit work on your character. He's gotta be able to, you don't get so angry when he's working on you. When he says, he's like, I'm trying to do this so you can have power, so my gospel goes forth, but you won't let me. You even rebuke me and say, that can't be God. That's got to be something else. When he's working character out and you submit to him, submit to the Holy Spirit. He wants intimacy with you. The Holy Spirit is a person. We've forgotten this. God the Father, we look at it like this. God the Father has a body. The Son, we know, has a body. And where's the Holy Spirit's body? It's in you. That's where it's at. God has given the Holy Spirit a body, and it's you. I'm excited about that. Isn't that exciting that the Holy Spirit lives within me? The Holy Spirit is a person. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not gifts, that he gives you gifts. He's not power, but he gives you power. He's not oil. He's not a dove. He's not fire and wind and water. He's a person. He has a mind, a will, and an emotions. And I want you to write this down. Okay? If you're taking notes, if you're writing some things down, I really want you to write, I want to write this down. I'm going to go to these passages, scripture, fast. Because I want to make sure we get to the end here. So, the Holy Spirit has a mind. Write that down. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Okay? So, Romans 8:27. He searches the heart. He knows what the mind of the Spirit. He searches the heart. That's God. He knows what the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is. He has a mind. He also has a will. And this is the other one I want you to write down. So write down will. Did you get the other one? I want to make sure you got it. So mind is Romans 8:27. Okay? You got that? All right. He has a will. Acts 16:7. And I'm just going to shorten it up, but you can write it down. You can look it up later. But the Spirit did not permit them. He has a will. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. All right. Did you get it? Okay. He also has emotions. And this is the one that we forget. So Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Spirit. So write emotions. E-M-O-T-I-O-N-S. Is that right? Okay. Emotions. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You can hurt the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Spirit. And one of the things that the Lord highlighted in my life, he's been dealing with me in my life, and I think there's probably some other people that he's dealing with. Because the Holy Spirit is more interested in your character than your achievements. The Holy Spirit is more interested in your character than your achievements. So, complaining is not repenting. Complaining is not rejoicing. You've been complaining. You've been complaining about your pastors, about your leaders, about your worship team, about the songs they sing. You've been complaining about the order of the chairs in the service. You've been complaining about the parking, about whatever. You've been complaining about your job, your boss, your coworkers, the other brothers and sisters in Christ. You've been complaining. God hates complaining. Let me tell you, repenting, complaining is not repenting. You need to stop complaining and start repenting. And this is not like to hammer you. This is not, I'm not making, just whipping on you as a whipping post. This comes from the Holy Spirit. Stop complaining and start repenting. A slave complains. If you're a slave, you complain about being in slavery. But if you're free, you rejoice. Stop complaining and start rejoicing. I beg you. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You wonder why he's so far from you? It's because you're complaining. Stop complaining. Start rejoicing. Be free in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit wants to be so close to you, but you know what? In the desert, they complained. God did not like complaining. It frustrates God, but he loves rejoicing and he loves repenting. See, God wants to do is be so close to you. He wants to draw you in, and he doesn't want you to complain because he knows that rejoicing brings his presence. That rejoicing comes, he can come into your presence with rejoicing, with worship, but you need to start repenting. Some of you right now, that's coming to your mind, the complaining that you've been doing. Repent. Turn from that. It's easy. Pastor talks about it's a gift. It's so amazing that you can repent. Change your mind about that person. Let the Holy Spirit change your mind about that person. We're never going to have unity if you're still complaining about the person that's sitting next to you. Not going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to have a hard time moving in our church if you're complaining. Amen? All right. The Holy Spirit wants a balance of fruit and gifts. The Holy Spirit wants character over achievements. He could care less about your achievements. He could care less what you can do for God if you're not spending time with God. He could care less about what you do for God if you're not spending time with God. Does that make sense? We're not spending, see, the whole problem is some of the time we're not spending any time with the Lord. Okay? It's not about Sunday morning church, it's about Monday morning church. And Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and Thursday morning, and Friday morning, and Saturday morning. You put too much focus on Sunday morning church, and that's just a spark. But Monday morning is the flame. Get up early. Whatever you have to do, crack that Bible open, pray, praise, read the word. Sometimes we go to conferences and different things. Camp. I used to go to, there used to be a thing called the Choir of the Fire. What was the other one we went to? Katie, do you remember? It was a youth conference. I can't remember, but we used to go to these. It was kind of like a Choir of the Fire. I can't remember the name of them now. I don't know why, but we used to go over to Yakima, and they had these big conferences, these youth conferences. We'd come back on fire for the Lord. We come back from camp sometimes. Not me so much. Camp wasn't a big thing for me, but a lot of young people come back with fire. You know what I mean? They're just excited about what God's done. They see miracles. They see people saved, delivered. They've seen people baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's pretty awesome. But we get home, back to our home church, and we say, where's the fire? Where's the flame that I saw at camp? Because I thought that church at home was the same, that we were worshiping the same God, and I see that. But so it must be only at camp. But that was just the spark. The flame is what you want. So how do you keep the fire? How do you walk in the Spirit? And I believe that these are the these three things are in this, what I'm going to give you next. So keeping the fire, walking in the Spirit, and I believe these are also weapons of your warfare. So there's six things. You guys are going to get out early. Early. Christina, would you give me some water, please? So I can yell some more. Six things. So I want you to write this down. If you don't write down this is going to be six different things in here. If you don't write down all the things that I have in all the scriptures, at least write down these six things I'm going to give to you, okay? So thanksgiving, praise, worship, the word, prayer, and fasting. Okay, did you get it? Let me do it again. Thanksgiving, praise, worship, the word, prayer, and fasting. Okay, so these six things, this is how you keep the fire of God. It can't just be a spark on Sunday morning. Okay, this is how you keep the fire going during the week. Okay, these are also how you walk in the Spirit so you don't gratify the lust of the flesh. These things. These are also weapons against the enemy. This is awesome. God's made it so simple. He's given us these six things. And there's probably more things, you know, but this has been what I've been finding in my own personal relationship, in my own Bible study. It's these six things. Sorry, I'm going to drink some water. Just a minute. Thank you. So thanksgiving is an entering in. Praise is an opening up. And worship is a bowing down. Okay? So we're going to go through these three things, and then I'm going to go through the last three. Okay? So thanksgiving is an entering in. Okay? Let's see. Psalms 104. I want you to go there. Psalms 104. Sorry, 100, verse 4. 100, verse 4. While you guys are going there, you know what? My wife, she helps me so much with all my notes and all the stuff. I can't barely write. I can't read too good. Can't write too good. Can't spell at all. So she helps me with all these things, and bless her heart, she sits there for an hour while I'm preaching the sermon at her and going, okay, this is what we need to write down. She writes all the things down. So this is a team effort. So thank you, Christina, for doing that. Appreciate it. So 100 verse 4. I want you to really catch this. I want you to really get a hold of this. Okay, I got to get there. I got to get a hold of it. Verse 4. Are you there? So enter in his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So enter in with thanksgiving. Get serious. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So in Isaiah, we'll get to that. In Isaiah, it says that the gates are praise. So I'm outside the gates. Look at it like this. I'm outside the gates of the courtyard. I enter in with thanksgiving. Okay? And then there's the court. And I enter the court with praise. So thanksgiving. And Sharon, actually, I got to give a little credit. Sharon's not here, but she kind of turned me on to this. And she said praise is an opening up. And I was like, there's more to it. Thanksgiving is an entering in. So enter in to his gates, the praise gates, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's coming up. Enter in with thanksgiving. Before you come into his presence, you give thanks. So switch back here to 95, Psalms 95, 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You can't come into his presence without thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You're so amazing. You're so great. And sometimes when you have a relationship with the Lord, when you're spending time with him, you do this automatically. You really do. You'll start praising God. I woke up this morning praising him. I woke up this morning going, God, you're so amazing. You created the universe. You created me. You gave us all these things. Praise you. Thank you. So you enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Before you come into his presence, you thank him. Number two, so praise is an opening up. Okay? So Isaiah 60, 18. I'm going to make you turn there. We got lots of time. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to. 60, 18. Isaiah, and we're going to go back to Psalms, so... Have I got your attention this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. 60:18. Are you there? 60:18. Isaiah 60:18. I'm just going to read the last section, okay? There's two sections in here. I'm just going to read the last one. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. You should call your walls salvation and the gates praise. So we're standing outside the gates, we're standing outside his presence, and we thank him. And then we enter through the gates of praise, right? Now we're in the courtyard and we start praising him, okay? We start praising him in the gates as we enter into the courtyard. So we enter into his courts with praise. The other thing is that we do, and this is something that, I'm gonna make you go back to Psalms, sorry, before I get into that. I want you guys to see it before you gotta prove it with the word, right? So, we're gonna prove it. Have I proven it so far? Are you with me? Okay, so Psalms 30. We were just in Isaiah, Psalms 30. Verse 11 and 12. That's 31. Here we go. You have You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off sackcloth and clothes. Clothed me with gladness. You have clothed me with gladness. You have put off sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. All right? So it's the gladness. When you come before God, if you don't come before him with gladness, then don't come before him at all. If you can't come before him in the way that he wants you to come before him, then you might as well not come before him at all. You might as well wait until you can get your attitude right. Okay, so come before him with worship, with praise. So Psalm 16, and I'm going to tie this together. So you're going to go to Psalm 16, 9. This is where it gets crazy. Psalm 16, 9, and then all the way over to Acts 2, 26. I know we're reading lots of Bible here, but I'm proving it. Acts 2:26. So we're starting in Psalms 16:9, and we're going to go to Acts 2:26. So 16:9 here. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory is rejoicing. And I want to focus on that word glory, because that's what you're going to see. So therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory is rejoicing. So go to Acts. Because it's the same verse, but it's changed just a little bit. Acts 2, 26. 2:26. Therefore, are you there? Therefore, my heart rejoices and my tongue is glad. Your glory is your tongue. Your glory is your tongue. You can't praise the Lord in your mind. You can. You can praise him. And I used to think, oh, I'll just praise him in my mind. I don't have to praise him out loud. I have to use my lips. I don't have to use my tongue. That's not what the Bible says. Your glory is in your tongue. It doesn't say your glory is in your mind. Your glory is in your tongue. You give God the glory with your tongue. You worship him and praise him with your mouth. It has to be. This is the thing. Why would you just praise him in your mind? Why would you just praise him where no one can hear and the devil can't hear you? Don't you want the devil to hear you praising God? Don't you want everyone around you see you glorify God with your mouth? That's why we sing. Did you know that there's a reason? You know, way back, I looked into all the things that we do in church, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't know if this is right. We have the pastor standing up there. I don't know. We worship beforehand. I don't know. We come to the altar. I don't know. Is this right? We worship before the word. There's a reason. It's a weapon. Also, David strengthened himself in the Lord, it says, before he asked direction. Before he asked of the Lord, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Saul didn't. That was his problem. Saul didn't strengthen himself in the Lord. He asked a question of the Lord, and God didn't answer, so he went to a medium. And things didn't go well for him after that. Not very much at all. But it did David. David strengthened himself in the Lord. He worshiped God, and then he asked direction. He worshiped God, and then he went to the Word. This is why we do this. Sometimes we've forgotten what we do, why we do what we do. We worship before we hear a message. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord, and it brings the presence of God in, right? God is enthroned on the praises of his people. When God shows up, the enemy has to go. When we worship and praise him, the enemy cannot stand. He can't have a hold on you when you're worshiping. And you got to worship with your tongue. You got to worship with your lips and your mouth. So I encourage you, Monday morning church, that you worship him with your mouth. Turn on worship music. That's fine. Some of the stuff that you're listening right here, it doesn't have any words. That's what I listen to in the morning a lot of times when I'm worshiping or when I'm reading the word. But sing along. If you can't sing, whistle. There used to be a lady right back there where Susie's sitting back there. Her name was Winky Murphy. You guys remember her, and I remember she could whistle. She could barely talk, but she could whistle. And she would whistle some amazing tunes. So if you can't, you worship. She was worshiping with her mouth. So worship with your mouth. So thanksgiving is an entering in. Praise is an opening up. Worship is a bowing down. So we're going to have to go back to Psalms. Okay, Psalms 95:6. Got you going all over the place here. Psalms 95:6. That's 96. Oh, are you there? Nope. I'll wait. 95:6. Psalms 95. I'll wait for you since I'm making you run all over. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Worship is a bowing down. Worship is a humbling. Worship is an attitude. It says that, and you don't have to go there. I'll just go there. I'll read it to you so you don't have to go there. But Psalms 48:1, it says, worship is an attitude. It's an attitude of worship. It's a surrendering. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised is the God of our, is this in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. So great is God, and greatly to be praised. If you're not going to praise God, if you're not going to worship God greatly, don't worship Him at all. If you're not coming with the right attitude of worship, don't worship Him at all. You got to have the right attitude. God will not accept worship in a wrong attitude. Have you ever heard the saying, obedience is better than sacrifice? God still wants sacrifice. He just wants the right attitude with your sacrifice. That's why obedience is better than sacrifice. It's about an attitude. He still wanted sacrifice from them, but their burnt offerings didn't smell well to Him. If your attitude smells, if your attitude smells, it's not a sweet aroma to God. Your worship, He doesn't even want it. It puts Him off. It grieves Him. It pushes Him away. If you haven't come in with the right attitude, check your attitude so you can be pleasing to the Lord, so you can worship Him with the right heart. So worship humbles you. Worship also breaks the heart of stone. And this is the thing. This is awesome. So I'm going to give Christine a little credit to this. I don't know why I didn't see this. But God is looking for true worshipers. God is seeking true worshipers. That's in John 4, 22 and 24. Worshiping in spirit and in truth, but He's seeking for true worshipers. That's why it wasn't on the mountain. That's why it wasn't in the temple. You can worship God anywhere as long as your attitude is right. You have to have a right attitude to come into worship. So I'm just going to go over them. I want to make sure you got this. So thanksgiving is an entering in, praise is an opening up, and worship is a bowing down, okay? Number four, the word. So we got thanksgiving, praise, worship. Number four, the word. This happens all the time in a Pentecostal-style church. God told me. God told me. I've had people come up to me and say, God told me. I'm like, God didn't tell me. God told me you should such and such. Or God told me, God told me, God told me. Jesus never said, God told me. He said, it is written. You're not going to defeat the enemy with this weapon with God told me. You're going to defeat him with it is written. You have to know the word. The devil knows the word, and he knows how to twist it. Jesus knew the word, and he knew how to use it. We have to do is make sure that we know the word of God, that it's in our hearts, that we're reading it daily. It's life. It's bread. If you don't know the word, you're going to be very easily deceived. It is written. When temptation comes, it is written. Not God told me. It is written. Because sometimes God didn't even tell you. That's your emotions. Sometimes you need to check your emotions with the word and make sure it lines up with the word, because we can be carried off with our emotions. We can be carried off because sometimes our emotions, you know, in our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions, they can make our decisions. And we got to check that with the word and make sure that we're not just running off half-cocked with my emotions. Okay? Does that make sense? So, not God told me, it is written. Number five, prayer. Prayer is a conversation. Prayer is a conversation with God. You can come in and you can give petitions to God. You can you praise God in prayer. You can lift His name in prayer. You can lift other people in prayer. But prayer is a conversation between you and God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray right now that you, by your Holy Spirit, would touch each and every person in this place. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that your word would become alive to them right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that there would be no more complacency in their prayer life anymore in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that they would have a conversation with you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's consistency over complacency. See, you have a consistent prayer life or you have a complacent prayer life. If you have a consistent prayer life, you're saying, I need God. If you have a complacent prayer life, you say, I don't need God. I didn't get any amens on that. I'm going to say it again. Make sure you're paying attention. So if you have a consistent prayer life, you're saying, I need God. If you have a complacent prayer life, you're saying, I don't need God. If I'm not bringing these things to the Lord, Lord, I'm not doing very well. Lord, you got to do something here. Lord, you got to touch that person. Lord, you got to save that person. Lord, you got to work some stuff out in me because I'm a turkey. Really, we got to do is have a consistent prayer life. And a lot of times Christians fall short right here. They might read, they might worship, but they have a hard time praying, have a hard time bringing their petitions to the Lord and saying, I need you. I can guarantee, I can't guarantee that everything that you asked of the Lord, he's going to give you. But I guarantee that if you ask the Lord, he will answer. Might not be in the way that you thought it was going to be, but he will answer. So complacency is I need, or consistency as I need God, complacency is I don't need God in my prayer life. Number six. Oh, we're going to make it. Number six, fasting. I haven't heard a lot about fasting, a little bit. Fasting is an amazing thing. Fasting brings you closer to the Lord. There's no real power in fasting by itself. Okay, but fasting is amazing. It says less of me and more of you. You got to get your bodies to submit. And we, you know, you don't always have to fast for something that you want God to do. Sometimes you fast so you can have a closer relationship with the Lord, so he can work some things out in you, so you're not so dependent on food and you're replacing food with the Word of God. Okay? So fasting puts your soul in submission. If you want to write that down, I won't go there, but David said that his soul was put in submission in fasting. So fasting puts your soul in to submission, Psalm 69:10. Fasting also looses the bonds of wickedness, Isaiah 58:6. It also undoes the heavy burdens, Isaiah 10:27. We read that. It sets the captives free, Isaiah 58:6. Fasting is an amazing thing that we've forgotten in the body of Christ. Stop fasting for what you want and start fasting for what you need. Just one more verse. This is going to be my last verse. So go all the way to Revelation. Okay? Are you still awake? All right, Revelations 3. Okay? We talked about receivers this morning. We talked about how you received Jesus. And then you received the Holy Spirit. So this is this church in verse 3. And my Bible says, it's not in Scripture, but it says the dead church. But I don't think it was the dead church. There was some things that were dead, some things. But there were some things that were alive. This church is asleep and needs to wake up. To Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how you have received. And here, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. And you will not know the hour that I have come upon you. I want you to, this very first part, remember what you have received. You have received Jesus. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have received the Holy Spirit. Jake. He received. I don't know if I can catch it. Oh, that was good. Hallelujah. Jake's got an arm. You have received. You've been equipped. You have the Holy Spirit. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from preaching the gospel? What's holding you back? Don't let the devil hold you back and tell you that you're not gifted enough, that he can't use you, that he can't do something in your life. He can't touch somebody else through you. Remember what you have received. Wake up and remember, you have the Holy Spirit and he wants to use you so bad. Jesus is coming back and people are going to go to hell. They're going to hell every day. And you have the hope of glory in you. Why aren't you sharing it? We can have all kinds of gifts. We can prophesy in his name. We can cast out demons in his name. I've seen it, been a part of it. It comes out. It's not a spiritual gift. In Jesus' name, come out. That's it. That's all. You cannot do all those things. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to be standing in eternity saying, Lord, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We prophesied in your name. Jesus says, I didn't know you. It's not about you knowing who Jesus is. It's about Jesus knowing who you are. Jesus, I want Jesus to brag about me. Jesus, God brags about people in the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart. That's just one. I'll just leave you with that one, but there's other ones. There's lots of other ones that God bragged about. Don't you want to be someone that God brags about? He's like, oh, I have my son. I have my daughter. I have my son, Ryan, and he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he preaches on his job, and people are getting saved, and demons are cast out, and they're getting healed, and they're coming to church. That's what it's all about. And they're making disciples, which we don't do. You need to start investing in people at your job. You need to start investing in their life. It's a lot harder than you think, but it's worth it. Start getting into their business. Start praying for them. There is a generation. I don't see some of the ones that are here, but there is the 20s, like 18 to 20s right in there. They're hungry for the Lord. They don't know it. They need Jesus. They don't know it. They're hungry for Jesus, and you have him. Grab a hold of one. It doesn't have to be somebody who's 20. It can be somebody who's older or younger. You see that they're hurting. You see that they're broken, and God's like touched their heart. He's made them desperate. They're in desperate. This is an amazing place to be. We need to get desperate. But when we see other people in desperation, we have the answer to their desperation. It's Jesus. It's not very hard. We need to get excited about the gospel again. We need to get the fire of the Holy Ghost again. We need to remember what we have received. Do you remember? Do you remember? Some people say that they'd like to go back when they first got saved, right? Oh, that was an amazing sign. I was on fire for God. I did all this stuff. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to go back to that. I've been brought so much further out of that. I'm more excited now about the gospel, about my relationship with Jesus than I ever did when I first accepted him. I didn't know lots of stuff. I still need to know more stuff. I'm not saying that. But I don't want to go back to that place. God has brought me out of a lot of stuff. He's brought me out of addiction. He's brought me out of sin. I don't want to go back and work all those things out that he's brought me. I want to work some more things out that God has for me. Sometimes. I'm just going to pray for you. We already had an altar call. I'll pray with you if you want me to. Whatever. If you need some prayer, still need more prayer. If you want salvation, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you are struggling with fruit and you're struggling with your character, I'll pray with you. But don't leave it on Sunday morning. Don't leave it here. It's got to be Monday. It's got to be Tuesday and Wednesday. God will use you. It's amazing. God will start sending people to you. You won't even have to go for them. They'll start calling you up. You start giving your phone number out and you're like, okay, God, I'm just going to leave them. 6 months later, they'll call you and say, you know what? The phone number that you gave me, I wrote it down. It fell off the shelf when I was pulling the book out. And I was so desperate for Jesus that I called you up because I knew you had the Holy Spirit. I knew you had Jesus. I knew it. When you, they don't know it. They won't say that to you. But that's what they're saying. You got something and I don't know what it is, but I want it. I'm having all this trouble in my life. I'm having all these family issues. I have all these demons. Some people will tell you the demons that they have. I have depression. Okay, that's a demon. I have anger. Oh, you're owning it now. They need us. They need us full of the Holy Spirit, readily equipped to do the good work. Just give yourself over to Him. I'm going to pray. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your Holy Spirit, that You didn't leave us alone here on earth, that You gave us Your Spirit. You even said it was better that we went away, or that You would go away, that He couldn't send the Spirit. Thank You for Your comfort and Your peace. I thank You, God, that You do in our lives is You work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Lord God, that You sanctify us. Lord, that You save us, and one day You're going to glorify our bodies. In Jesus' name, I pray for each individual that they would catch the Spirit. They would catch the fire, and they would, on Monday morning, tomorrow morning, Lord God, they would seek You with their whole heart, reckless abandon for You. I just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So you're dismissed if you want to be, or I'll pray for you, or anybody else wants to pray.